Blog Talk Radio.
Got my money up. Yep. Got my money up. She wanna roll with the winner. Yeah.
Y'all already know who it is.
So I took her to dinner.
I do it like it's legal. Come sit with a mob. A sip Pino. Subtract that bum. He a zero. And me shouting. Ain't another equal. Whipping the four like a Rego.
Just being able to be myself and tell people,
you know, stuff that they really don't know about me, how I came up, how I got started into the industry and stuff like that. Just being able to tell my story.
So when we say the industry, guys, what Sasha does is she was a video vixen. She's a video vixen. She's a model. She's an adult entertainer. She's also an author, and she's a socialite. You know, that's the new thing going around now. Everybody's, I think I'm a socialite, too. Everybody's a socialite, a culture socialite. So, yeah, so when she says in the industry, she means, you know, the industry. And she's met some interesting personalities, pop culture celebrities and stars. And so it seems to me that she's just kind of giving us a peek of what, you know, what really goes down, the tea, as they say, what really goes down. So, Sasha, how did you get started?
I started dancing. I'm from Ohio. A lot of people probably think I'm from Memphis, Tennessee, or somewhere else, but I'm originally from Toledo, Ohio. Big shout out to Toledo, Ohio. I started dancing. Then I left Ohio, went to Detroit, worked around in Detroit for a minute, left Detroit, Michigan, and came to Atlanta. And once I came to Atlanta, it opened up other doors for me as far as, like, the porn, escorting, videos, modeling, and a lot of different stuff that I've done or partake in. Atlanta opened up a lot of doors for me.
Now, when we say, because you're casually throwing this off, you're doing porn, you're doing stripping, you're doing modeling, you're doing all these things. How do you decide, and I think a lot of listeners would want to know this, male and female, how do you decide that you're going to deviate from what society, not saying right or wrong, but what society would think is a normal occupation and say, hey, I'm going to use, you know, I'm naturally beautiful, God gave me this, I'm going to use this to get ahead in the world, I'm going to go into the sex industry. Was that a casual decision, or was that something that you planned and thought out and said, no, this is, you know, this is good, good money.
It was a casual decision because I always have been into the modeling and things like that. My passion and dreams was to become a lawyer. So this is the road that I end up taking. I didn't become a lawyer. I ended up becoming a porn star, video vixen, very multi-talented, young entrepreneur, you know. So, no, that's not the road that I planned on taking. But it's the road that I took, so I take the bitter with the sweet. And, hey, that's how you get Sasha Cray, I guess.
Okay. I think that's a question that most people would want to ask. They want, and it's so funny that we ask that question because nobody asked you, well, they might ask you, why did you decide to be a nurse? I said, well, to be honest with you, I think most people do ask you about any occupation that you have. People ask me all the time, well, how did you get to be a publicist? You know, and I find it hard explaining that because I really don't know how that happened. I think you gave a better answer about yours than I did for mine because I really don't have an answer for that. So most people want to know, how did you choose your profession? So when you say open doors, what really opened the door for you? What was the main thing, in your opinion, that really put you on the radar?
I think when I done Young Jeezy Welcome Back video, shout out to Young Jeezy and Gabriel Hart, which is the producer, the director of the video, Welcome Back. He's the guy that shot it, which is a good friend of mine, Gabriel Hart, the video guy. Shout out to Gabriel Hart once again. Young Jeezy video, and I done an article for XXL. At the time, I had just done probably my first movie, I think, which is Dirty South Booty Shake 3 for West Coast Productions. And at the time, I had a lot of different things going on. I was escorting. I was working at certain clubs here in Atlanta. So I was starting to build a name and a brand for myself. And once I had already done the Dirty South Booty Shake 3, Gabriel Hart called me up one day and said, I want to put you in this video. Then once he put me in a video, somebody from Bonsu Thomas from XXL, which is a writer for XXL, contacted me and said, I want to do an article on you. So I was in one of the most sold XXL magazines. I had a 3-page spread in there. So I think Jeezy really, like, opened up the doors where once I done that video, then I became a model for a published magazine. Then I said, okay, I could see myself doing this because at the time it was fun and stuff like that. Then I ended up having a passion for it. From doing
that was going to be my next question because, you know, my show is about the journey. I always ask people, how did you get here? How did you get there? What did it feel like? And so, when you first saw your layout in XXL, I know you screamed. What were you thinking?
Actually, I didn't see it. My brother went to the 7-Eleven, and he likes magazines and stuff. My brother he likes the music and stuff like that. So I was at home asleep. He called my mother, yelling and screaming, "Ma, I just got this magazine and." My mother and my brother, they called me Muffy. So he was like, Muffy's all over in these magazines. I'm at CVS or 7-Eleven once, and then my phone started ringing off the hook. These magazines was everywhere. They was in every airport, CVS's, Rite Aid's, everywhere. So once I did that, it opened up doors. I started doing videos for a lot of different people, Yo Gotti, Young Jeezy, T.I., so many different artists. I done worked with every artist, this known artist, other than Jay-Z and Kanye West.
I love it. That's amazing. I can imagine. You know, I know your brother, so I can imagine what he did when he called.
So just from the excitement from seeing them being so excited and happy for me, because when I done XXL, me and my mother wasn't talking at the time because of the porn thing. So
yeah,
I think once she seen that the porn thing opened up so many other doors for me. Now, that I did have a plan. When I started doing porn, I knew that I wasn't going to be a long-time porn star. You know, me, I done 4 or 5 movies versus a lot of the people in the porn industry, Roxy, Pinky, Cherokee, just some of the big name entertainers, they have 100 and some movies and stuff like that. I have 5 movies. Once I learned the business, seen how I operated behind the scenes and stuff like that, a close friend of mine, which is a director for West Coast Productions, after my second movie, I said, this ain't something I could do. I have to use this for a platform to go into another direction. I have to use this to open up other doors. And other doors started to open up for me, like XXL and, you know, other magazines.
And you know, it's funny that you say that because a lot of people erroneously would assume that women in the adult industry don't have an agenda and don't have a plan, as if you guys are not smart enough. It's just like any other entertainment, whether you're a singer, a musician, an artist, there's an actual plan of upward mobility. So I was glad to hear you say that was a platform for what you wanted to do. So now you're getting in, you're getting all these, this is what the book is about, The Naked Truth, Exposing Industry. So now you've been all over newsstands, you've done movies, you're still doing your shows in the club, you're signing autographs, you're a big star in the adult entertainment industry, and you have also celebrity clients that hire you for services. So how does that start? Is that just casual that you start doing that?
When I moved to Atlanta, a lot of the girls was escorting, and just the environment, you know. And the money that a girl can make in a strip club, I make twice as that on a call or a date. So not all the time am I being paid to have sex with people. Sometimes I'm being paid to accompany people, dinner dates, conversation, companionship, not just always sex. It's not always sex people, a lot of people take escorting and run with it and take it the wrong way. Like, okay, she's fucking for money, or she's a prostitute, or whatever the case may be. Not all the time I'm having sex with people. Sometimes I might spend an hour, 2 hours with a guy because he's lonely, he's going through something, or I'm doing something that his wife is not providing for him or making him feel comfortable or whatever the case may be. So it's not always about, okay, I'm an escort and I'm being paid to have sex with these people. I help these people in more than one way, also as me fulfilling their fantasy.
Okay, I got it. You're providing a service. It's not always sex. I mean, there are some lonely people in this world. And
you
dealing with entertainment. And a lot, I had to explain this to somebody the other day. They didn't quite understand it. A lot of these entertainers do not have real friends. The people that are around them are paid to be around them. They're, you know, they're best friends or they're assistants or they're this and that, but they're really there for the money. So they don't really have somewhere that they can unwind, be themselves, vent, or even cry, or, you know, laugh or whatever. So, you know, you're providing a service. It's not always about sex. Sometimes it's about companionship and compassion, okay? So, you know, and it's the oldest profession, so we just get used to it. Western society is so stuck up. But then you've got some funny stuff going on. Some of it is about sex. And that's what the book is about.
Yeah, a lot of it is about the sex. A lot of it is, but not all of it. You know what I'm saying? I say 75% of it is about sex. 25% of it is helping people, being there for them, counseling them, you know, fulfilling their fantasies all the way around the board. I play many positions and wear many hats, as I would say.
Yeah. And some people have, male and female, and we're all adults here, special and particular sexual fantasies that they don't feel comfortable expressing with a spouse or a girlfriend because, you know, society has told them that it's a little weird, you know, that it's not normal or for whatever reason. So I know that you, you know, you deal with that as well. You discuss some of it in your book. Now, I want to get into the book, but we can't get so specific in the book or as graphic as I would like to be because I'm not allowed to on this station. But we've got some guys in here that like extra stuff. You got to pick up the book, man. I cannot say this stuff on the air. You have to go get this book. But,
they got to go get the book.
Yeah, we don't want to give it all away, but, you know, it's the truth. It's the truth. My favorite, when I first got the book, my favorite was, because this was a hip-hop question. Everybody was trying to figure out how Scott Storch lost all these millions of dollars. And I had seen an interview, I think it was on 50, this is 50.com, just a few weeks before this book came out, where Scott Storch was saying he lost $30 million in 1 year, and he doesn't know what he spent it on because he was so high. He was so drunk, and he was high.
Yeah, he spent it all.
And your book came, right, like a few weeks after, because I asked myself that after, you know, interview. I was like, what the hell was Scott doing? And then your book came a few weeks later, and you laid it out, because, guys, if you didn't know that, part of that $30 million that Scott lost in that 1 year, he was spending it on Sasha. So your book came out, and it laid it out. I was like, well, yeah, that is how you lose $30 million.
That's how you lose $30 million. Party, 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 let's all get wasted.
Yeah, Scott. And Scott, is, you know, he was so casual about it. Like, man, I cannot believe I did that. But, you know, he's not kicking himself in the butt. You know, but I remember seeing that interview and saying, what in the hell is going on? Who can lose $30 million? And he said himself that he had perfume bottles made out of diamonds. They would bore out diamonds and, you know, have perfume bottles, and he would give it as gifts to the females and all this stuff. And I'm like, oh my God, Scott, stop it. So that was interesting. Any questions that you might have? There's Jazzy's got a lot of rumors. Jazzy Faye, guys, producer, Grammy winning producer out of Atlanta. There's always been a specific kind of rumor going around about, you know, Jazzy Faye. None of them ever documented, substantiated, I should say. So we've got it, chapter. She's got a chapter with Jazzy Faye in there. She's messing with your athletes, guys. She's got Darius Miles in there, and your French Montana is in there, and if you love the reality series, she's got some Mama D's and some other people in there, and the Hot Topics. OJ Mayo, yeah. Yeah, she's there in there. Sasha knows them all. She's a socialite, okay? So, and at the last couple of weeks, we've been dealing with the 50 Cent Soulja Boy situation. And she's got an explosive accusation in the book with Soulja Boy. And I will just say Vivica is late because Sasha's book came out before
she's
Vivica.
She's late.
Sasha's book was out before Vivica hinted at some different situations. So if you are interested in that Soulja Boy situation, it's there. So here's my question. Now, you wrote this book, and these guys are former clients, current clients, whatever, friends. What do you think is the aftermath of this book?
The aftermath is what it is. What's the difference between a guy sitting up telling his friend, oh, I fucked this bad bitch, I fucked this porn star, and then me write my book saying, oh, I fucked this person or I fucked this person? I mean, what's the difference? You know what I'm saying? Like,
you're right.
A lot of people get mad and say that I'm not really throwing nobody up under the bus for real. You know, okay, it is what it is. Yeah, I did. You know, they might read it and take it as that I threw them up under the bus, but what's the difference? What's the difference from them sitting around telling somebody that they fucked me or that they paid me? Because none of them fucked me for free, unlike, they sitting up telling their friends, oh, I didn't have sex with her or whatever the case may be. Okay, so why I can't say, oh, I had sex with this person, I done had sex with this person, or whatever the case may be.
You're absolutely
so,
right. You're absolutely right. And that is the best defense.
It ain't no telling. Don't get it twisted.
That is the best explanation that I've heard, because that's the first thing people say. Well, the first thing they say is, oh, they're lying. And this is not just you, it's every one of these folks. The first thing they say is, they're lying. And I guess because I've been in this industry myself as a publicist for so long, my first instinct is, no, they're not lying. And a lot of people cannot figure out why a celebrity would pay to have sex with someone when there are thousands and thousands of women just begging to give it to them for free. That is the oddest thing.
That's a big difference.
Yeah, that's the male psychology I don't understand. But that's usually what people say. They're like, why would you pay for it when
you
got hands beating down the door?
Quality or quantity.
Quality or quantity. Okay.
Which one do you prefer? I mean, yeah, and you could go have a girl and get her for free. Many of them can, but is that girl that they go get for free know what to do? Everybody's not built for this. You know what I'm saying? So with that being said, you could go get a girl for free, just not gonna make you happy or please you. But you could go pay somebody, just gonna make you happy and please you. Get what you pay for. You get what you want.
Well, with that being said, where can we find this book?
Y'all can find this book on SashaCreamOnline.com. Y'all can find the book on Amazon, BarnesandNobles.com, Amazon.com, G Street Chronicles, Entertainment.com. The book is all over the place. So the book is everywhere, guys.
It's a beautiful cover. She's a beautiful girl. Great personality, funny. She's being censored here on TV, radio, so we keeping it in line. But you'll love Sasha Cream. You can see her at www.sashacream.com. S-A-S-H-A, cream, C-R-E-A-M, online.com. That's the website. She's also on Instagram. Of course she's on Instagram. She's on Twitter, and she's on Facebook. Now, you're going to find some fake pages because they all want to be Sasha Cream. But make sure you go check out Sasha Cream. Make sure you check out the book. Make sure you tweet her back that you checked out the book. And get to know Sasha Cream. Okay? I enjoyed the book. I'm so limited on this show by what I can say, but I guarantee you, you're going to die laughing when you read this book. It is hilarious. It is hilarious. It's not a nefarious, I'd like to say, because I read some of them where they're just mad at the world and they just want to come out and, you know, cut everybody's throat. No, she tells the truth. She doesn't hold back. She's telling the truth. She tells you the tea. But you hear Sasha Cream in every word. You can hear her talking in every word. I enjoyed this book, and I got to get one autographed. And then I got to go apologize to all these people that I know that I had you on the show. Because they're all my friends, but it's business, people. I love y'all, Desi. I love y'all, man, okay? I love you, Jeezy. I'm sorry. I love you. I love you guys. But, you know, Mama D, you know, I'm sorry. But, you know, business is business. Enjoy.
Business is never personal.
It's never personal. All right, Sasha, so we're going to give us some last words, and we're going to let you go.
Thanks, Blog Talk Radio, for having me. Thanks, Ms. Lisa Jackson, for having me. Everybody, y'all go check out The Naked Truth, because it is the truth. No plugs. Stay down until I came up. Y'all go check me out on Instagram, Sasha Cream, E-N-T. Y'all check me out at Sasha Cream on Twitter, Facebook, Sasha Cream the Model, or Sasha Cream fan page. And thanks to everybody who got the book, and all my fans and all my haters. And douchebags. Thanks.
I got the tone, girl. All right. You have been listening to Audio Fix with your host, Lisa Jackson. We had Sasha Cream on. I hope you guys go check it out. I enjoyed it. She's a wonderful girl. You know, we're going to end out with the plug, and I will see you next Tuesday. I've got another author coming up. She's going to talk to you about the Mourner's Bench. In light of everything that's going on today, this book is so poignant. We're swinging from a socialite, adult entertainer, into social commentary. The book outlines Arkansas in the 1960s and the rise of the civil rights movement, the rise of the black identity movement, the feminist movement as well, and how does a small southern town, African-Americans in a small southern town, deal with this, and at the same time, how is the church dealing with this? This is so poignant, especially when you consider what's going on today with the Black Lives Matter movement and the pro-African movement. So make sure you tune in next Tuesday, 11 a.m. We're going to talk about the Mourner's Bench. See you guys later.
Got my money up. Yeah. Got my money up.
Trapping out the bando, you ain't know.
He ain't in that right. Why would
can leave tonight.
You know he ain't checking that thing, no. He ain't shopping no more.